Six. As I reverse the number. Okay, my eyes now recovered. It's actually Luke chapter 6. Beginning with verse 20. This is Luke's rendition of the Sermon on the Mount. It's about one quarter the size. Some believe it may have been a different account, but if not, he's giving a shorter version. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Jesus lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." May the Lord bless this portion of the Sermon on the Mount to our hearts. Luke does say that they were actually on a plain, but there are mountains in that area that have steps on that actual mountainside, and so this may be indeed the same occasion. But Luke brings a condensed version of it, and some of the rest of the Sermon on the Mount Luke brings out later on in his gospel. And so this afternoon, I'd like us to consider the wheels and woes of Christ's Sermon on the Mount. The wheels and woes. In other words, Christ preaches blessings and warnings. A wheel is an old word, means well-being. Wella is wealth, welfare, a wish, a will. And so the Beatitudes are wheels. They're W-E-A-L-S. They are blessings, benedictions that the Lord proclaims upon his people. But woes, these are oracles of trouble ahead, danger, a prophecy of misery, judgment, of heavy sorrow, of great doom. Watch out. If you continue in this state, you don't want to know what the end of that state is. It will be overwhelmingly sorrowful. So he's saying danger to those that he gives these booming proclamations of woe. So you've got the boon, the blessing, or the bane, the cursing. Boon is the word, old word for grace, favor, and benefit. Bane is a death notice. It is a notice of impending doom and destruction. So again, Jesus preaches both blessing and older believers, older evangelists and pastors that wonder if half of the membership of churches is saved. I almost always think that they're certainly exaggerating, but that would be a fearful thing if they're not, wouldn't it be? And so let's not presume. No one should ever presume. You want to make your calling and election sure. You want to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And you want to be able to say like the disciples, "Lord, is it I? It's not going to be me, Lord. I have prayed occasionally, Lord, don't let me be a Judas. Don't let me be an apostate, please." Because we've read how some seem to go quite a while. Jesus said in the parable of the seed of the soils that some endured for a while and then they fell off. And you and I, if we've been saved and we've lived long enough in the Christian church, have seen people fall off the radar but never return. And it's a fearful thing to see that that happens even in the umbrella of the church. So it is in 2024. So as you look at the Beatitudes and anathemas in Luke, you see how he parallels them. He says, blessed are the poor, but woe unto the rich. Blessed are those that hunger, woe unto you that are full now. Blessed are you who weep now, woe unto you that laugh now. Blessed are you who are, in Matthew's language, persecuted for righteousness' sake. Luke says, for the Son of Man's sake. But woe unto you that, as it were, are flattered now, when all men speak well of you. So, not for the Son of Man's sake, but for your sake, that you're living for popularity, you're living for the acceptance of men in the crowd, but not living for the Lord. So Luke gives the exact equivalence. Now remember, Matthew has 8 Beatitudes. Luke has 4 of them. But Luke gives the exact equivalent parallel of the woes with the Beatitudes, with the wheels. Now remember that when Luke and Matthew say, blessed are the poor, we have to remember it's not simply referring to everyone who is poor economically, financially, is blessed. R.C. Sproul gives at least 4 ways in which you can be described as poor. You're poor because you're slothful. And Proverbs warns about the sluggard being poor because of his laziness. Certainly, the Lord is not saying, blessed are the slothful poor. And then the second category of poor is providentially. The poor you have always with you. And some are born in a country, in a society, in a neighborhood where they can never get out of it. They're poor from the get-go, in the ghettos, God has placed them there so that they can be objects of someone else's generosity, or simply that they can live for the Lord if they're saved in abject poverty and yet still bear fruit and live for the glory of God. Think about in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, how Lazarus simply was dirt poor and lived at the gate of the rich man. And so, again, there are people that are unsaved that are living in abject poverty. And just because they're poor, even providentially, does not mean they're blessed. The key is, again, salvation. And then the third category of poor is those who are oppressed. And they're poor because they're oppressed by their leaders. They're oppressed into poverty. So often you see this the case, for instance, in North Korea. People are living in abject poverty and the luxury of the leaders. We see that in America in many places and in Russia and others. And so, again, just because one is poor by oppression does not mean that he's necessarily blessed. But the saved who are oppressed, the saved who are providentially in abject poverty are indeed blessed. But Matthew is referring to poor in spirit. And so I think that's the key of this. The Lord isn't primarily referring to the economic status of the person, of the believer, but he's referring to the spirit of the believer. And all of us should be poor in this way, poor in spirit. Poor in spirit, that is self-suppressing. That we deny ourselves, that we feel and we are convinced that we are absolutely dependent on the Lord, that we cannot breathe another breath of air without the Lord's help. Think about, remember thinking how even a blasphemer needs to take a breath of fresh air to blaspheme. Our heartbeat is dependent on the Lord. Think of all the systems in our body. And, you know, when you think of an automobile, I mean, slice a hose and you're done. Slice a wire. All kinds of systems in the computer system, just slice something and the whole vehicle shuts down. And the older the vehicle becomes, the more likely it is. Like the old truck, it just got fixed from a problem with the radiator fluid. It was blasting over the top of the engine and shorting out the engine. Who knows? I thought it could have been a hose or something else, but it was something totally different. In another situation, it could be a belt. It could be anything. All it takes is just a break, a hole, and it's done. It's shut down. All the Lord has to do is just command the misfunctioning of the sewer system or misfunctioning of the electrical system or the hydraulic system or however, whatever. How many systems do we have in our body? 5, 6, 7? All it takes is one hole, one slice, and we're down. We need to recognize we need the Lord mentally, physically, socially, financially, in every single sphere. We need the Lord. We are dependent. All the Lord has to do is say, it's time, and we're done. If the Lord says, Phil, I want you to have it right now, someone else would have to finish this message this afternoon. People have died standing in the pulpit. Remember, Spurgeon had to stop his message one time and notify a gentleman that he believed that his wife was slumped over dead next to him. She died while Spurgeon was preaching. And we've heard of other instances where they had to stop the service and carry a body out. And how the Lord poignantly reminds us, teach us to number our moments. We apply our hearts unto wisdom. But are we poor in spirit? We're humble. Are we humble? Are we feeling our dependence? And are we desiring that Christ increase and we decrease? Are we esteeming others better than ourselves? And we say, I am nothing. I am nothing without the Lord. He has saved my soul and I have had no contribution to it. All the contribution I had was my sin. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. But the Lord warns those who are rich. But again, not every person with wealth is warned, at least warned that he's not ready for eternity. And by contrast, but similarly, there are those that are rich by oppression. They oppress others to get rich. They are certainly part of those that receive woes. There are those by providence are rich, gifts and inheritance. There are those that are rich by labor, the labor of their hands. And so not everyone who's rich financially is unprepared for heaven or even is unspiritual. Not everyone who is wealthy succumbs to the idol of wealth. We know Abraham and Job and Lydia were those that could be wealthy and humble, generous, and feeling their abject poverty without the Lord. But the Lord is dealing with those who are rich in their attitudes. They have a high look. They're proud. They despise others. They have a false sense of security. I mean, all this wealth, whether it might be in livestock like Job or in real estate like Mr. Trump and many, many others, or in wealth of finances, it can be so easy to have a high wall in your wealth to think that no one can scale that wall. Ponder yourself with $1 million in the bank and 25 properties and all the cattle in the world in various kinds. Just ponder yourself owning that right now and then dying. Then what? I like what one man said. He has never seen a rider truck behind a hearse. You ever seen a rider truck behind a hearse? People have even been buried in their Rolls Royces. People have been buried with all their trinkets. But where did it get them? Remember in Herculaneum and in Vesuvius when it erupted in 80 AD, it buried Herculaneum and what was the other city?
Pompeii.
And they found people having their jewels clutched to their hands and buried in feet of ash when they unearthed it. They went into their homes to retrieve their jewels, and perhaps they could have escaped if they had run for the hills. Easy to have a false sense of security about anything. Your wealth, your intellect. You look down your nose at someone else. When the rich and the poor meet together, the Lord is the maker of them all.
Amen.
It'll be interesting to see the billionaire with the pauper standing side by side. Both, as it were, naked. Naked came I into the world from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But then hunger for truth. Blessed are they that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Are you hungry for the truth? Every day do you wake up for more? Do we ever say, well, I had breakfast yesterday, I had lunch yesterday, I had dinner yesterday, I don't need it today? And how often we can live like that spiritually. I read my Bible yesterday. I read especially more on the Lord's Day. We have to be careful. It's easy to procrastinate. It's easy to assume that we can live off yesterday's blessings. Oh, it's a blessing when we are blessed today and tomorrow we remember that. But you can't live on fumes, as it were. We need the fuel of God's word, the food of God's word, regularly. Regularly. Oh, don't become so guilty and depressed if you oversleep and you miss your Bible reading. Catch up. Just go forward, plead the blood, pray that God will help us to have hunger. He's got to stir our hunger. There is the contribution that's made. We pray for zeal. We pray for a hunger and thirst.
Amen.
But the Lord has to give it at the end of the day.
Amen.
Lord, stir my soul. Take away my thirst for the things of this world, for temporal things. Take away my carnal lusts and my carnal hunger for this and for that, for the trinkets of this world. And that's what he's referring here when he says, woe to you that are full now. They hunger for trinkets, and they get you have your reward, he says. Your reward in full. Trinkets. Is that what you want? Trinkets. There's nothing wrong with having some things, but you know, it gets a point where the things take over. And you see, folks, that cover everything, lest there be any dirt, lest there be any scratch. Just everything of this world is covered, is preserved. But their soul is exposed to the judgment of God. Blessed are they that hunger for truth, but woe unto you that hunger for trinkets. You're full now. You've got your reward. You've got your reward if it's for popularity. And that's the fourth beatitude. Blessed are they that are persecuted, that are oppressed because of your association with Jesus for the Son of Man's sake. Not because we are weird, or not because we have a chip on our shoulder, not because we do things that are outrageous and strange, but simply because we love the Lord and we want to talk about the Lord and we want to talk about salvation. And because we want to do right. We want to tell the truth. We want to resist temptation. We want to rebuke those who lie and cheat and steal. Woe unto you that are privileged now. Woe unto you that are popular, that are coddled, that crave acceptance, that crave approval, that crave popularity. You want the association with the world more than the association with the Son of Man. As Jesus said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Is that our goal, that others and all speak well of us? Oh God, take away my desire for popularity. How often I have withheld a witness because I was afraid of being defriended. I was afraid of being ostracized. Pray for me. Please pray for me that I'll be bold for the Lord. That I will not crave popularity, acceptance before the world. Woe unto you if all men speak well of you. Just like fathers did to the false prophets. Scratch their backs, pat them on the head. Keep preaching smooth things, as Jeremiah said. Don't preach about hell. Don't preach about sin. Don't preach about getting right with God. Preach smooth things. But even so, the Lord tells us, love them who persecute you for your being poor in spirit, who persecute you because you're hungry and thirsty for truth, who persecute you because you weep over sin in a fallen world. That's the last beatitude. Blessed are you that weep, that mourn. What does he mean? We mourn over our sin. We mourn over the sin of the world. Rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not thy commandments. We mourn over the ungodliness in the world. We mourn over broken laws. Woe unto you that laugh. You laugh in your immorality. You laugh in your drunkenness and your revelry. You laugh in your blasphemous jesting. The day's coming when you will mourn, and you will mourn forever. But laughter's coming for the believer. Not a laughter of sarcasm. Not a laughter of "I told you so." But there is a laughter, and believers experience from time to time, the laughter of knowing you're going to heaven. The incredible privilege it is to be saved and to have your sins forgiven, to laugh at so many truths that are precious to the soul. Jesus laughed, and not always in a sarcasm. The Bible does tell us God laughs with the laugh of Psalm 2. As God who sits in the heavens shall laugh at those who mock and blaspheme. But Jesus laughed. He was a man of sorrows, but can you not see him holding the little toddlers, holding them to his breast? He's just laughing as he held them and saw them giggling. It's one of the best pictures on Facebook, isn't it, to see the giggling and the squirming and the crawling of little babies and little toddlers. The joy that they have of just being alive. Oh, how joyful it will be in heaven. How joyful it will be. We'll say to each other, are we really here? We'll pinch each other, won't we? We'll pinch ourselves and say, is this a dream? This isn't a dream. I'm really there. We're here. We're in glory. Oh, the beatitudes, the blessings upon believers, but the woes upon those who are without Christ. When we look at the woes, especially the ferocity of God, think of the Lord was the Son of God, and he brought woes to people in the crowd. It's the thunder of God. One day they're going to stand there. What will he do with me? The thunder of God is echoed down through the years from that word, woe, woe. The guilt of sin, particular sins are enumerated. And pride is up at the top, those who are rich in spirit. The folly of sinners to dare to live in light of this danger. To live when they see the lightning beginning to fall. The dread of judgment day. They were blessed by the world, but now they're cursed by the Lord. Men spoke well of them, but one day they'll hear, depart from me, ye curse, into everlasting fire. And these woes speak of the calamity of hell. You've received your consolation and you laugh now, but ye shall suffer hunger. Lost forever, not even a drop of water. But all the joys of the Lord's benedictions. To be poor in spirit is to have the kingdom of God now. Eternal life is dwelling in us right now. Forever with the Lord. Oh, the joys of those who hunger now. We shall be filled. Even now we're being filled with growth and knowledge. But forever we'll be growing and knowing the Lord. Blessed are those that weep. They shall laugh. The laughter of joy. Holy happiness, ecstatic realization that we're in glory, never to sin again. Blessed are you who are persecuted, separated, castigated. Your reward is great in heaven. You are unnoticed here. You are maligned here, but you will have honorable mention. You're confessed by Christ openly. You'll be received through the pearly gates of heaven. Jesus preaches blessings and warnings. The Lord Jesus preached the whole counsel of God. He didn't hold back. He doesn't hold back to bless us for knowing him, for loving him, and he will not hold back, and we ought not hold back to warn those that are ashamed of Christ and would rather have the applause of the world and the favor of God. But yet they need to be saved. Don't give up on them. Love them. Pray for them. And God, as he has saved us, save them as well. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we bless you for this message, this sermon that you preach to your disciples and to the multitude. Lord, how your heart is stirred. Preach to those who knew you, those who loved you. You didn't hold back in promising that you had prepared a place for them. And if it was not so, you would have told them. But then, Lord, how your heart must have been broken and pained to know that there were many in that crowd that were rich in spirit, that were laughing, even laughing at perhaps even your sermon and laughing at your people. Those who are full now with temporary things of this world. Those who were popular, were applauded. But you knew, Lord, the end of those that dare to die in such states. Please help us to be faithful. Live out our lives, Lord. Live through us. We are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet not us, Lord. We live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Please bless your word to our hearts. We pray this in your name. Amen.